Step 11. Why is your glass half empty? Is the glass really half emptied or full? It all depends on how you view it. Isaiah chapter 40 verses 12 through 14 says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, measured heaven with a span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure, weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as his counselor has taught him? With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of justice? Who taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding?" We serve an awesomely amazing God. We don't know why things go the way they do at times, and we can't understand why a glass would be halfway full or emptied. We can't blame the devil for everything, and we shouldn't blame God for anything if we truly believe in him unconditionally. In order for us to categorize the glass as half full or emptied, we'll need a little more information. It all depends on the complete situation, or does it? Imagine finding out much later in life that your birth journey was altered before you took your first breath. If it was a negative situation, then I'd prefer the glass to be halfway emptied. That means whatever the negativity was that took place is almost gone. If it was a positive situation, then I'd be sad and concerned because that would mean the unknown is coming next, and that could be a negative thing. Or is it? Psalms chapter 139 verses 13 through 16 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." Here's an example to consider something half full or half empty. It all depends on the person looking at the glass, the specific situation, and the final outcome. What if your mother thought about having an abortion for whatever reason? We can't judge those who cross that path, even if we knew each detail to the end. That's God's place, not ours. What if she changed her mind and blessed another family with your presence? That family could have turned out to be the best thing that happened to you versus an abortion. What if the family turned out to be the worst outcome for many reasons? James chapter 4 verse 17 says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 5 says, "Therefore do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God." The point I'm trying to make is we shouldn't judge a person's decisions to a situation based on what we see. We are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Lord created our path. He did not plan for evil, nor give us a hopeless future, but there are times that bad things happen to good people. We have the will to make our own choices, to draw outside the line of Christ, and that's when things get messy. One thing guaranteed, depending on how you view things, God will turn it around for your good. He tells us to come to him, all who labor and are heavy laden. He will give us rest. Romans chapter 5 verses 3 through 5 says, "We may not feel like rejoicing in the bad times, but the word tells us to rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." You turned out to be a powerful, loving person regardless of your circumstances. You chose to look at the glass half full and not hold grudges or be angry, since all of the evidence that could explain the why are not available to you. Life's joy, peace, and happiness can depend on how you look at the outcomes. There are going to be many choices you will make in life that many may not agree with, and you move forward anyway, since you are the sole person having to deal with the consequences of your choices. It's easier to see the negative in a person's choice rather than have empathy and wonder what happened to them personally to make such choices. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." As I grew older and started my own family, paralleling my childhood with my children's childhood, I intentionally did things differently with the goal to improve their experiences, not because mine was horrible, but rather there were things I needed that were missing. I worked hard at giving them those intangible things, not materialistic things, that was lacking in my childhood. Things such as constant hugs, kisses, affirmations, patience, forgiveness, love, understanding, explanations of the whys and the what ifs, thoughtfulness, and various decision-making opportunities to help them grow into strong individuals, and most importantly, allow them to fall while learning how to live in this world, knowing I would be there to help them up and make different choices as they grew. I'm sure there are things that they will strive to do better, and I'm thankful for that. Each generation should inspire to do better. It doesn't mean the prior generation did a horrible job. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." No matter what the choices were, we must search for the silver linings and not give the enemy fuel to steal the next chapter of our life. We have choices, and we are not bound to be angry and mad about the past because it's the past. We should take whatever we've learned and do better, walk in that wisdom, or we could stay angry and mad and not walk in our wisdom. Again, is the glass half full or empty? We don't have to keep the negativities in our suitcase. Negativities are dead weights. That's why they are heavy. We can dump them in the trash of remembering them no more and replace them with new and improved memories.